Everyone, welcome to another podcast of the Talk to Rami show. This is your host, Rami. Today, I'm very excited because I have an amazing guest here. And we're going to talk about self-confidence, entrepreneurship, fitness, and everything. Joe DeSena is here, guys. He's a CEO and founder of the Spartan Race with over 300 events in 40 different countries. He's been a lifelong entrepreneur and author, as well as host of CNBC's No Retreat. Joe, thank you so much and welcome to the show. And I'm grateful that you are here. Can you please tell me, how did you come up with this Spartan? It's one of my favorite things, even though I am Persian. And I watch a Spartan 300s. I love the philosophy, the mentality, and no surrender, no retreat. How did it came up? How did you this Spartan start? Like,
you know, the crazy thing is, nobody knows this, but my cousin created something in the military called the Best Ranger. Oh, I didn't even know it, and he developed it years and years ago, a gentleman named David Grange, a very high-ranking general, very famous. And he developed this thing called the Best Ranger, which is very much like Spartan. But Spartan is for, you know, for the masses, and Best Ranger is for the elite within the military. Yeah. And then my mom started to follow an Indian guru back in the late 70s, who believe it or not, in long distance running, really long distance running, 3,100 miles around a 1 mile loop in Queens, New York, that still exists today.
Wow.
And so I don't know, I guess it was in my blood to create something that gets people to become, or helps people to become, the best version of themselves. You know, diamonds are made under pressure. Iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
To turn steel into iron, you got to heat it, you got to pound it, and then you drown it. And so, I don't know. That's, you know, that's where it came from.
You know, the Spartan race, actually, I'm going to attend the next one, but it's just that not only a mindset, it's just a physical that will create a mindset that you can do it. Like, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not about finishing it. It's about going through it. Is that right? Is a journey.
Yeah. Look, many people listening or watching this podcast probably practice an instrument in their life. They probably practiced some language in their life. They probably practiced some class, whether it's math or history or biology. What very few of us practice is adversity. We don't practice hard. We don't purposely put obstacles in front of ourselves to get better at them. And that's what we need most. We need it more than history class. We need it more than biology class. We need to practice hard because life gets hard. There are moments where you're broken. And the difference between those that continue and those that quit are the ones that continue practiced hard. They had hard in their life. If you came from Ukraine, if you grew up in Ukraine over the last year, let's say.
Yep.
And you came to America and your boss said to you, I need you to work late tonight. Do you think you'd be upset? No fucking way would you be upset. You're just happy to have a job. You're happy to have food on the table. Versus one of us in America, me included, that has it so damn easy. Your boss asks you to work late. Oh, I can't believe it. I was supposed to do this tonight, or I was supposed to do that tonight. We get upset over really silly things because we have too much. We have it too easy.
And what you think is that? Is this because of the culture? Because, you know, I'm not from Ukraine, but I can tell you a story. You know, I came, you know, I'm a Persian. I came from Iran. I was in Iran, Iraq war. I was in special forces and fight 4 years in the war. And right now, you know, I'm a tech guy. I never retreat. I never surrender. I keep on going and I never leave a man behind, even in my company. But this is, I think this is something, don't you think, is a culture, is a mindset, or what is it that we really, some of us, we don't get it, as you, I'm so happy, mentioned that we don't get it, or we have it, or we don't know it, that obstacles, they're going to be there to make us stronger, not the sign of failure.
Yeah, listen, if this was 300 years ago, I would say we need more couches, we need more penicillin, yeah. we need more hot bubble baths, okay?
Yeah.
But in today's day and age, where most children are not going through a rite of passage like we did for so many generations and so many cultures, where we basically take, you know, babies and turn them into men and women, that's gone. And all the obstacles have been removed from us by our parents and our teachers and our colleagues, and they want to make it easy and safe for us. And so we're not good at it. But deep down inside, we are pretty resilient creatures. I take a lot of children and put them through something called death camp every year on the farm in Vermont. And those kids don't quit.
Wow.
They have no choice. They can't call their parents. They don't have a car. They can't leave. They're young. They haven't learned helplessness yet. They might try. They might kick and scream and cry, but ultimately they get through it. Adults, on the other hand, who have a way out, who have learned helplessness in this environment we live in, who have never been truly tested, they quit because they can. And so I don't think it's bad hardware or software that we have. I just think we learn helplessness in this environment, and we should be proactive in practicing hard. And that's what we do. At this company, I sell something that people don't want. People don't want commitment. They don't want discipline. They don't want hard work. I'm selling something nobody wants.
And do you think that, can we change that mentality, or is it even changeable? Even we can just get through people and say, hey, this is a reality. You're going to have obstacle and you got to deal with it. And this is what you got to go through. Can we do this in this country?
Well, you don't have to change people. You have to just uncover what already exists. You just have to find that resiliency and grit beneath the layers of mayonnaise and puffy cotton balls and all the things that are surrounding that resiliency and grit deep beneath the surface. And I've seen it firsthand. The military has seen it firsthand. You know, you take young kids and you put them through basic training and you turn them into hardened soldiers. The ancient Spartans did it. So deep down inside, it's there. Unfortunately, in this day and age, it's deeper than it used to be. You got to go through a few more layers, but you just got to have a willing participant. If somebody's willing, you'd be surprised. I didn't know what I was capable of until I started doing all this crazy stuff. I didn't know I was tough enough to do it. And it turns out we all are.
What made you do it?
Well, I grew up, like I said, I grew up around my mom who was introduced to this crazy stuff, but I wasn't really interested in it. Didn't make any sense to me. I wanted to make money. I ended up on Wall Street. On Wall Street, I got fat and happy and then unhappy because it, you know, I wasn't feeling healthy. And I stumbled upon a really difficult 3-hour race.
Wow.
And I did it and I felt so good. So alive. It was unbelievable. And so I said, I what's the next hardest thing I can do? I got to test myself, you know? And I did a 24-hour race. And I was like, this is unbelievable. I can't believe how great I feel. organizing all my gear, preparing, training, going to bed early, waking up early, not eating the cookies, feeling like a Navy SEAL. I just felt like a badass. And then I said, what's harder than that? And they said, well, you know, the hardest race in the world is the Iditarod. It's across Alaska, you know, without the dogs. Waist deep snow, 30 below temperatures. I said, wow. Sign me up. I gotta do it. I gotta see if I'm tough enough to do it. And so I started to seek these crazy challenges. The crazier they were, the more interested I was. And then I found not only was it transforming me, but anybody I roped into it became transformed. And my bond with them became very strong. So that's where this whole thing was born. 23 years ago, I was just looking to give people what I had found.
And you know, you went through all that stuff and made you, you know, tougher, you know, and kind of change your life. Did whatever you went through, did that affect your business today as an entrepreneur? Because you're a hardcore entrepreneur too. Did that any effect, like how you think, how you operate, how you run business? And because, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have ups and downs. You know, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. You know that. And then how'd that help you? Because I think the Spartan is a great way. I tell my entrepreneurs friends that we all should do that because it prepare you for somehow.
Definitely affected my business in a positive way. A lot of people in business, most people in business, they do lunches with potential clients. They go drinking with potential clients. They do golf, right? But that's not powerful. Anybody could do those things. And it's just, that's just a surface area relationship with a client or potential client. When you do something hard with that client, when you, it could be hot yoga. It could be training for a marathon. It could be doing a Spartan race or tough, but like could be any one of those. When you do those things together, you build a bond that is incredibly like unbreakable. And we did so much more business as a company on Wall Street when I was doing this stuff with customers. It was game changing.
Because I know you sold, you know, fireworks at age 8, and then you built a multi-billion dollars a pool company. That's a big, huge thing. I think you always had that mentality. Is that right? That I'm going to go get it. I can do it.
Yeah. You know, I have 4 children now, and my wife and I look at our youngest one and she has that same spark. I could easily see walking in the house one day and she's selling fireworks, you know, at 10 years old, or she somehow picked that up from me genetically. So I had it at a young age. Our other children are amazing, but they're not necessarily seeking that roll up your sleeves, let me go start a business, you know, at 10 years old or 8 years old. I definitely had it. But I grew up in a place where everybody, you either had that or you got left behind.
You know, I think, you know, going back to what you said, you know, a lot of us, you know, we think we can't do it, but we can actually, we can overcome obstacles. But I think the reason that we don't do that or we don't think is because we don't want to be vulnerable, because vulnerability is a sign of weakness. A lot of people think that, like, you know, what is your take on vulnerability? Like, do you really think it's a sign of weakness when I said, hey, Joe, I need help?
I think it's amazing to be vulnerable. I think it's incredibly powerful. I think it's the opposite of what people think. You know, ego gets in the way. Certainly hard to convince a young person that it's okay to ask for help. I've learned over the years, it sounds like you've learned over the years that not only is it a sign of strength, but if you ask for help, 99.9% of the people are willing to help. So I remember seeing a study in psychology many years ago, that most men are afraid to ask for directions because it's a sign of they consider it a sign of weakness. I never had that issue. I always just wanted to get wherever I was going faster. And so I had no issue. Like, it was irrelevant to me on what somebody thought that I didn't know where, like, I could care less. So I'm gifted in that regard. I don't care. I love asking for help.
You know, I'm sure that you have been judged many times. I have been judged many times. How you deal with the judgment of other people, how you deal with that, because this is the big thing right now, especially in the young generation.
I get judged all day, every day. And I'm lucky. I have ADD for sure. And if something like that bothers me, it only bothers me for about 5 seconds. I'm already onto something else, and I could care less. I saw a lot of people die at a young age. A lot of people go to jail at a young age. My mother and father are no longer here. Like, I don't sweat the small stuff. And my feeling is, like, if you really have an opinion that matters, you should be down in the arena with me. You shouldn't be, you know, sitting in the stands, making judgments. Come down, fight the lions, and let me know what you think then.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing, amazing analogy. You know, where you think the 300, like, not a Spartan, like a Spartan race is going to go? Now you are in the 40 different countries. Where is your vision? What is your vision?
Well, it looks like we made the Olympics. So 2028, wow. Yeah, 2028 in Los Angeles, we'll have our first event. It'll be an initiation event through Pentathlon, which is great. And my dream, I guess, is just to get more and more people. I want, you know, 100 million people to have done something hard in their life. And that's what I work towards every day. Get them off the couch.
You know, I have so many entrepreneurs, friends, and some of them right now, I talk to them, they're going through a really rough time. And they ask me to ask you that, you know, they're all facing all this stuff that sometimes they're stuck and they don't know what to do, and, you know, give up, give in, surrender, or, you know, what suggestion do you have or advice you have for the entrepreneurs that they're really, like, with everything is happening right now from, you know, artificial intelligence, name it, everything is happening right now. They're afraid. They don't know if they're going to make it or not. Do you have any suggestion or advice to how they think, what they have to do?
Couple of things. One is the standard should never change. If you're going through rough times, easy times, if you're trapped in your house with COVID, if no matter what, the standards should never change. So you should always wake up early. You should always get a workout in and make sure you sweat. You should always drink a lot of water. You always take a cold shower. If you're going through a tough moment or a tough day or a tough week, nothing will fix it like a good old set, you know, fashion set of burpees. Get your heart rate up, breathe heavy, sweat, get in an ice cold shower. You will feel 1,000 times better. The alternatives to that, which are drinking and drugs and bad food and staying up late, those are not good alternatives. The best thing you could do is exercise, get your heart rate up, and make sure you get in an ice cold shower and hate it. I promise you, you'll feel better. Secondly, there are times when we're supposed to quit. You're in a business, you're in a relationship, you're climbing a mountain, you're running 100 miles. There are times to pivot. The way you determine if you're supposed to quit or pivot, you got to be really careful because your brain is always going to take the easy way out. So you got to pay attention and make sure you're not just taking the easy way out, that you're actually following these rules. You got to ask yourself, you know, what is your why? What is your purpose? What is your reason for doing what you do? If your goal is to put food on the table and your business is going through a tough time and you're feeding your family, you know, it may not be as good as you think it should and it hurts, but it's still putting food on the table, you don't quit. If your goal is to be the best musician ever and you're struggling with a business, and you really want to get over to the piano and be a musician, get rid of the business. You're not doing the thing that you're passionate about and the thing you should be doing. The analogy I give people is if you and I were climbing Mount Everest and we were 100 feet from the top and we had trained and we had spent a lot of money and we prepared, and here we were 100 feet from summiting Mount Everest, and a storm rolled in and the situations became tough, if my goal in life was to be the greatest mountain climber that ever lived, and this was my chance to bag a record and be the guy, I'd probably go for it, even though times got, you know, dangerous. If your goal was to be the best dad that ever lived and you have five kids at home and you're just doing this because it was a fun thing to do, you should turn around and go down. Getting to the bottom is mandatory. Getting to the top is optional. And so you got to really reflect and think, why are you doing what you're doing?
I love
it. And base your decision. For me, my why is to change 100 million lives. So when times got tough during COVID or even right now coming out of COVID, my mission is to change 100 million lives. So suck it up, Joe. Suck it up. You got to fight through. Right? But if my mission was to be with my family, I would have waved the white flag and got out of business, you know?
You know, I totally agree with you. You got to know your why. I see other problems that self-awareness. Really, really, some people, they don't know who they are in the first place. When you ask them, they said, I don't know who I am. And I can't say, I don't know what is my why. You know, I had a discussion with Simon Sinek too. You know, it's just the why. Like, but don't you think first we have to know who we are? Like, self-awareness is important.
Self-awareness is incredibly important. And I think that reflection on figuring out what your why is a step towards figuring out who you are. I believe when you do hard stuff, you get to meet yourself. It's very hard if everything is cushy and comfortable and you don't face adversity, you don't know who you are. That's like a Ferrari that just sits in the garage and never gets used.
Yep.
But if you take that Ferrari and you race it around corners at, you know, top speed, and you nearly run out of fuel and you've got to change filters and tires, you get to know that vehicle. And you got to do the same thing with yourself. You got to take yourself out on the track and do hard shit. And you meet yourself. You get to find out who you are, what you're made of, what you're going to do when the going gets tough, when no one's watching.
You know, I love that, you know, your mantra or the no retreat. And we're going to talk about the CNBC show, but this is a really great philosophy that I learned from 300, you know, Spartan, that they know no retreat, no surrender. And I personally cannot do that in the business. I said, I'm going to go. I don't give up. And what is the worst case scenario? I think if all people did think like that, because we're all going to die one day, we're all going to go. And unfortunately, some of us, we think we can take everything with us, but that doesn't work. But tell me a little bit about the CNBC show. Is it, when is it going to be air, and how much you can talk about it? But I am so fascinated by the name, like No Retreat. I love that. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. So the idea was simple. The idea was to take companies, which we've been doing for 20 years, bring them to the farm in Vermont, and basically torture them. and try to figure these things out. Try to figure out, like, why are they doing what they're doing? Do the founders, do the CEOs, does management know why they're doing what they're doing? Are they all aligned? Do they have each other's back? Is there trust? And we could figure all those things out in our laboratory on the farm in cold water, in carrying heavy things up the mountain. Like, it's so easy for people to hide behind their daily lives, and you don't get to uncover the true self, the true team. Are they working well together or not? And so the farm removes all that surface area bullshit, and we get to find out what's really going on.
And then when that's going to air?
That started airing last year. Yeah, a lot of people, apparently they've got it on a bunch of airplanes these days because people keep saying they're flying somewhere and they see the show.
Yeah, okay. And I'm going to just search for it, but I thought that it's not on air right now because we saw the news and everything. I had a couple of people to international flight. They said that it was there. But, you know, I want to see it like that. But is it one season, the next season is coming, how that's...
Yeah, we're just constantly looking for companies that are willing to be tortured. Not easy.
I love that. I'll be there. I promise you. Okay. I love challenge. But you know, thank you so much. And I know you are very busy. And thank you for, you know, for your all answers. And I learned so much. I'm sure the visitors and, you know, the viewers, they can learn a lot. But I look forward for our next chat. I was going to come and actually see you physically and get to know you, but it didn't happen. But maybe next time. But you know, I'm a big fan of you. All my people in the office, and we always, you know, listen to your podcast, all that stuff. But if you have any advice for the people listeners, just shoot. And
you know, I'll give you one more piece of advice. But where are you physically located?
We are in Austin, Texas.
You're in Austin, Texas. I have races in Texas. So what I would propose to you and your team and anybody listening is to send you an email. Sure. And get a big list of people that want to do a race. And I will give you all free races, no problem. But if you really want to do something wild,
yeah,
and you want to really transform your company, you should come to the farm at the end of June when I have the death race. Wow. And you could do an hour of it or 10 hours or 70 hours, but it doesn't matter. But just being there and being around the fire and seeing the folks push through what seems to be impossible is really game changing. So I'd love to have you there.
Sure. Absolutely. I'll make sure that I personally be there, and I promise you I'll be there because I love challenge and I love to be around the people and learn and grow. That's my thing, you know, never retreat, never surrender.
But I love it.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you for being here. I greatly appreciate it. And I grab a list from my, you know, people in the company. I invite everybody and I'll figure it out when it's going to be in Austin, Texas. And then we definitely join for that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You have a wonderful day, Joe.
You too. Bye-bye.